This is the house of miracles, of what is impossible for man to do, but not for God to do. I believe within my heart here this morning that God is wanting to do further miracles in and through your life. Holy Spirit, I pray that you have your way here this day, that you have all the liberty to move from heart to heart here within the sanctuary here this morning, to move from heart to heart for all of those viewing online, Lord. Have your way, have your way, have your way. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here on this beautiful Sunday morning, a day that the Lord has made. Amen. You may have your seats here this Sunday. I'm excited to be giving the word here this day. Amen. And I believe the Lord has a word for each and every one of us. It's a very simple message, but if you listen with your heart, and there's things taking place within your life right now that you wish could be better, you wish could change, amen. I just pray that you be challenged this morning by the word of the Lord. Amen. A lot of great things are taking place. We'll be going to St. Louis a couple of weeks away now. I'll be traveling there. Amen. We're starting a brand new work out there in St. Louis. And we got Brother Eli's there. Brother Eli's there. He's the member we sent here to that's making up the team there. Amen. Church was sent out from Kansas City from Pastor Dan Tint's church. Amen. And Pastor Aaron and his wife and children are the ministers that are going to be running the church in St. Louis. So it's so excited. It's right around the corner that I'll be going out there with members here of the church. Amen. To go see the pioneering work that has started there in St. Louis. Amen. Praise the Lord. As we get into this morning's message, amen, been speaking on the book of Nehemiah, on the rebuilding of the walls, amen. And the title of the message here this morning is God's Plan. God's Plan. Amen. As we read here this morning in Nehemiah, Chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And the Bible reads, these are the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of Hakalah. In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, King Artaxerxes reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. Verse 4. When I heard this, key part of the message here this day. When I heard this is Nehemiah speaking. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, prayed to the God of heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. We thank you for your grace and mercy that has allowed us to be here in your temple here this morning. Your grace and mercy that has allowed those that are viewing online right now, Lord, from whatever part of the city they live or from other states. We thank you, Lord Father God, that you have set the stage here this morning for us to be able to hear what you want to speak to the church here this morning. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Here a brother of the Nehemiah, some other brothers, had come with bad news, amen. Amen, of what was taking place there in Jerusalem, and the walls had been torn down, the gates were burned with fire, amen, and that the Jerusalem was in disgrace, was in great trouble. Amen. There was no protection there. Everybody was defeated. And when they told Nehemiah this news, amen, many had heard the same news there in Jerusalem. I believe all the men, all the women, the young adults, the condition of the walls had been like this for many, many years. And many had heard the news and had seen what the enemy had done to the walls and the gates, amen. Many had heard and did nothing about it. But when Nehemiah heard what was taking place there in Jerusalem in regards to the broken down walls, amen, in regards to the gates that have been burned, something took place. And verse 4, as we go back to verse 4, 1, the Bible says, when I heard this, another means a lot of other people had heard it, but when Nehemiah said, when I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. I believe when everyone else heard what was taking place, the walls that were 40 feet high of rock, over 2.5 miles long, I believe everybody that heard and saw the bad news said, there's no use. We could never repair that wall that goes for over 2.5 miles, 40 feet high, and made of rock, especially being in disgrace and in the trouble we're in. I believe nobody had the faith. Nobody had the faith in repairing the walls there in Jerusalem. And I believe there's a lot of people within this city of Milwaukee that see how messed up the city is. Problems in addiction and gang violence and all the above. And the problem is so great that many, including many churches, don't even try to fix the problem. Many churches here this morning are preaching the gospel, but they have a plan in repairing the broken down city of Milwaukee. See, we have a plan. We have a plan. We have a strategy, not just a local one, but a worldwide international plan that comes straight from God in repairing broken lives like your lives and my life. You see, it needs to be the plan of God. Any type of plan might be able to fix this, build that, or do that. But when it comes to the rebuilding and the fixing of broken lives, it's going to take a God's plan. And it's going to take a God's people coming under God's plan to see it fulfilled. We're in strategy right now in winning the city of Milwaukee unto Jesus. We have the facility to do it. Got a beautiful property to be able to pull this off. I have the faith that says it can be done. My faith says it can be done. And I know that at times when we're going through certain things within our lives, and we're trying to just deal with self, take care of self, that it's hard to go beyond self and taking care of others. That's my call upon my life. Others. Others that don't deserve, amen, something good for all the bad and wrong they did, just like I did. But God's plan also comes with God's grace and mercy that allows a people like you and I the ability to come together and to be able to win this city over for the Lord. Nehemiah says in verse 4, when I heard this, I believe there's times we make plans according to what we have heard. How many have ever heard, whether it was good news or bad news, and you said, oh yeah, and you took off to go strategize. Whether it was something, a strategy that was good or something evil because of what you heard. Whether it was good news or bad news, we are the type of people that respond. We respond when we hear things. And in regards to the building of the walls in Jerusalem that were made out of rock, everyone that heard what had taken place in Jerusalem, what had taken place was too big for them to even think about fixing the walls. Until the news hit the ears of Nehemiah. Until the bad news hit the ears of Nehemiah. Once again, I repeat, I believe there's times we make plans according to what we have heard that don't have anything to do with God's plan. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're shifting mics here this day. Praise the Lord. I want to repeat that again. I believe there's times we make plans according to what we have heard that don't have anything to do with God's plan. How many plans have ever failed before? And then after it fails, you say, man, what was I thinking? Why did I even do that? I should have been able to see that that was not going to work. The plan of man. The way we respond when we hear news, again, whether it's good news or bad news, there's a response from our lives. But I believe too many times we hear things and we respond to them with a plan when the plan don't tie into God's plan. Plans that can't do anything in bettering our situation, our lives, our family, or the church, more or less somebody else's life. I believe we're always, every day we plan. I know I plan every day. I am such a planner that I plan the day before. I already have a list drawn up the day before. So if God's good to me and I wake up, I already have a punch out list to hit. Because I'm a planner. I plan a lot. I keep planning and strategize. I plan and I say, okay, we're going to do this. I'm going to do this. Amen. I'm going to have brother and sister do this. So I got this punch out list. Amen. A plan that I put together that's tied in to God's plan for the best of this church, for the best of for your life. The plan ain't got nothing to do to better my life. But the better of this church and the bettering of this city that we live in. And I tie these plans into God's plans.
And I pray that this brother, this sister will come through because they're on my punch-out list. When Nehemiah heard the news in regards to Jerusalem walls that were in ruins, it stirred his heart. Something happened within his heart, even though he was 900 miles away from Jerusalem. When he heard the news, something happened within his heart. Amen? And he wanted to make sure of what was being stirred in his heart was the plan of God. And so in order to be sure what was stirring his heart was the plan of God, amen, he went to God. The Bible says there in verse 4, when I heard this, which was the bad news, I sat down, wept. In fact, for days I mourned, I fasted and prayed to the God of heaven. So his heart was stirred, and because Nehemiah was a man of God, he wanted to confirm that the stirring within his heart was from God. That the stirring within his heart was one of his plans, of his feelings. But he wanted to confirm what he was being stirred within his heart, that it was connected to the plan of God. He took what he heard to God with brokenness, prayer, and fasting. He wanted a God answer to his heart stirring. My heart's been stirred many times before, and it can be something of the flesh. Just because your heart's don't mean she's the right one for you. But pastor, I can feel it in my heart. He's the one. I want to kill him. I hate him. Pastor, get him away from me. What happened to the I love you forever and ever. Kisses, kisses. He wanted a God's answer to his stirring, not knowing he was God's answer. His heart was being stirred, and he takes it to God in prayer and in fasting and brokenness, asking God, you know, what I'm feeling. I've heard this bad news. It's what's stirring my heart. Is it from you? I want to make sure it's from you. I got a job. I'm the king's cupbearer. I got a very, very important job. And I feel a stirring in my heart that it's like it belongs to me. And he was right. It was confirmed. He was wanting a God's answer, not knowing that he was God's answer. Over the years, I have come to find when I am really moved of God, he's wanting to do something using my life. See, every man, every woman, every young adult will have stirrings that come straight from God. Stirrings that come from God. And I believe many online and that are here have been, your hearts have been stirred of God. And anytime God stirs a man's heart, a woman's heart, a young adult's heart, it's because he wants to do something through your life. He wants to use your life to meet the need that we have here in this city of Milwaukee. Can you imagine being God's plan? God's answer for this city? Amen? Verse 4 says, when I heard this, it wasn't his plan. It wasn't man's plan, but it was God's plan. And I can confirm it through scripture, Nehemiah chapter 2, 11 and 12. The Bible reads, so I arrived in Jerusalem 3 days later. Next verse, please. I slipped out during the night, taking only a few others with me. I had not told anyone about the plans of God had put in my heart. Tells us right there that what stirred his heart about the walls and the gates of Jerusalem being torn down was a stirring that came from God. Not only a stirring that came from God, but a stirring that came from God in the heart of Nehemiah to be the answer to what God wanted to do. So it goes on to say, anyone about the plans God had put in my heart for Jerusalem. So here we come to find out in Nehemiah chapter 2, 11 and 12, that the stirring that was in the heart of Nehemiah was straight from God. And even though he was 900 miles away, the stirring came straight from God. Has anybody been stirred lately about the Lord and how he's wanting to use your life? I'm not the only one he wants to use. The leadership ain't the only one he wants to use. He wants to use everyone that is here this morning, everyone that is viewing online here this morning. I'm no better than nobody here this day. I simply was willing to answer the call, to answer the stirring in my heart that I thought was just in getting my life right. But that's where the stirring in my heart started, in getting my life right. But God had purpose for my life in not just getting right, but being able to use my life after my life had been put in order by Him. God's got a plan for your life. We all play a part in the plan of God. It was God's plan that stirred the heart of Nehemiah. And the only way that Nehemiah was able to confirm that it was God's plan was that he was a man of prayer, of fasting, and a man of brokenness. Where the stirring within his heart was confirmed that it was from God. When it's God's plan I put here, it will always work. It might not turn out perfect the way you want it to turn out. There will be bumps along the way, believe me. But when it's God's plan, it will come to pass. Nothing can stop God's plan. Your disobedience cannot stop God's plan. When God's got a plan, it's a plan that's going to come to pass, but He's looking for a people to work His plan through. When it's God's plan, it will always work. Tell the one sitting next to you, it will always work. But Proverbs 19:21 says, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. How many got plans for after church today? How many got plans for after church? Amen. How many got street plans after church? How many plan to go to the streets after church? See, because you dial in. If you want to be connected to God's plan, that's God's plan. You can still fulfill the plan and go and eat somewhere after going to the streets. You can still go eat. Amen? But pastor brought some shorts, little Nike shoes, a t-shirt that even says Pastor Charlie on it. But they can recognize that the senior pastor is in the streets, amen? Giving the good news of the gospel that saved and changed and transformed my life. And if he did it for me, he can do it for anybody. Proverbs 19:21 says, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. In other words, if your plans don't match up with God's plan, they won't work. And the enemy's crafty. He'll let them work for a season. He'll make it look like you got it going on, thinking that you don't need to be connected to God's plan. I believe, it's going to be a short message today. I have a part two to this one, amen? I believe with all my heart that God is wanting to make history here in this church of V.O. Milwaukee. With all my heart. With all my heart. Just like he's making history right now, all around the world through our ministry in over 30-something countries. There's bases right now where God's doing great works within our ministry. I'm believing that we have a property, not just to have a property, but for God's plan to be fulfilled in the reaching of broken lives. I want to put somebody on the spot right now. Amen. Brother Paulino, come up here along with your wife. Sadis didn't come? Well, then you're on your own, baby. We can do it. We can do it. Paulino and his family have been with us, you know, for a season. He's a businessman. I've been talking to him. And he called me the other day, and we had a long talk on the phone. We had a long talk again yesterday to what we can do to better the chances of this church getting packed out and us fulfilling God's plan for this city. But I just wanted to share what you have in your heart, what we've been talking about.
So I was just telling Pastor Charlie that the reason we're here, my family here, is because of what Victory Outreach did for his life and what it did for Sister Connie, Brother Jason's life, you know, Jay's life, how it just transformed their life from being in the men's home, the women's home, and me meeting them, and how their life has changed dramatically. And this is the only church that is doing that. You know, we went church shopping before we ended up coming here, and trust me, there's no church that is actually doing things that are changing people's lives from getting them out the gutter to getting them with God, you know. And one thing I was telling Pastor Charlie, if everybody knew this message, if everybody knew that Pastor Charlie was here, like people that I know, other businesses, they would love to donate to this church. They would love to help the cause, you know, because I hear from other people that are probably not here today or that came and visited and got moved, that were always telling me the same thing. You know what? This is a church that is trying to change lives. Where sometimes I'm like, it drives me a little crazy. Like, man, how does Pastor Charlie, Pastor Felipe, Brother Jason, Sister Marlene, like, they care so much of just helping people. You know, they're not looking for people that are polished, people that are successful. No, they want people that are broken, that are down, and they want to heal them. And that right there just moves me, where they sacrifice getting quality out of life for their own personal life. They sacrifice a lot on how they live, how they go throughout about their day, what they experience through their life, just so other people can be healed, be unbroken, be with God. That is something that just is on a whole nother level, you know, where I look at you guys like saints, you know what I mean? I can't sit here and say that life is for me. You know, if I ever become a pastor, become one of you guys, it's because I just you know, you guys gave everything up to be a part of this church. You guys gave everything up for God. That right there is just so moving to me. And if this message was broadcasted out to just the neighborhoods around here or just Milwaukee or even the world, everybody will want to help this church grow, you know. But at the end of the day, like I told Pastor, I said I had an idea years ago. You know what I mean? When I met my wife, you know, she wasn't my wife at the time, and she changed me. She said, hey, you need to get out the streets. You need to stop hustling. You need to get a job and continue being a great father that you are. And I listened to her, and I got a little job. I started roofing again. And then after I started roofing again, I told myself, I just want to make $1,000 because I want to support my family. And after that, it wasn't enough because we had 7 kids. You know, we were living in a 2-bedroom apartment. $1,000 a week was not feeding all of us. So then after that, I wanted to get more because I wanted to provide for my family. And I prayed to God and I asked him. I said, God, just tell me what to do. And he gave me the answer. Like I was telling Pastor Charlie, there's 3 times that I prayed. And God literally just took the stress off my life. One time I was in jail. And I'm crying because it really happened. And God just took that stress off me. I got arrested. I was hustling. And I had my kids involved in my life. And they're with me through the whole process because I was a single dad at the time. And when I got arrested in front of my kids. My kids were with me. We're like a little crew, you know. And I was just, when I was in jail, I was like, all right, this is nothing. You know, I've been in jail. You know, basically when I would go to jail, it was just kind of like visiting a bunch of friends I haven't seen in a while. You know, that's kind of the way I took it. And when I was in my cell, it really hit me. Like, dang, like, I'm in jail for real. Like, I'm going to be doing some time. You know what I mean? And because I was on probation, I had 10 days to go before my probation was over. And In my past life, I got caught slipping. And that was it. They came to my house. They came looking for one of my friends. It was me and the kids there. You know, they had enough to arrest me, and they arrested me in front of my kids. And then from there, when I was in jail, I act like everything was fine. I'm like, man, but I'm on probation. I'm not going to be able to bail out. And first, once I get in my cell that day, I was already in jail a couple of days, and then it just hit me. Like, man, I was just so stressed out. It felt like my bones wanted to jump out my body. And then I just got on my knees and I started praying to God. And I said, God, just tell me what to do. You know, help me just get through this. Help me get back to my kids. And my kids were struggling. You know, I came out of jail. My kids had afros. They were looking dirty. You know what I mean? My kids, I love them so much because I'm the only thing they had at that point. Nobody was ever willing to take good care of them like the way I was until I met my wife. But at that time, I knew my kids were going to struggle nonstop. So after I prayed, God just took that away from me. And it's like, I didn't hear God talk or anything, but it felt like saying like, everything's going to be all right, you know. But when I got out of jail, I didn't change my life. You know, I changed my life for like 2 weeks, went back to the same thing, but meeting my wife has what got me there. When I started my business, I did terrible as a business owner. I was losing money all the time. And it got to the point, not because I was not working or not working hard. I was working so hard, but I wasn't getting paid by the contractors that were giving me the work. And then I was in debt like $15,000. I owed all my workers for a whole 2 weeks of pay. I wasn't even taking money from my wife's bank account, from her credit cards, just to stay afloat. And again, it hit me where I was even willing to get back to, you know, to make a couple moves just to make some money so I could pay all my workers. And I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to go back to that route. So again, I go to God and I pray to him and I ask him to give me strength. Tell me what to do. And he did. You know, I literally, it's like he just touched me and told me. He didn't tell me, I didn't hear a voice or anything, but it was just when that next day when I woke up, I knew I was clear-minded. I knew exactly what to do. You know, all the contractors that owed me money, all the big companies that owed me money, I just told myself, I said, you know what, I'm not going to deal with them anymore. I'm going to work for one company that's going to pay me on time, and I'm going to foresee that. And then the very next day, I get a phone call from that same company, And they tell me that they have these big condominiums, 300 squares if you're into roofing. And they're going to pay me about $185 a square, which the first week I was able to make over 15 grand so I could pay my guys on time. And that was God working within me. But I was willing to do the work. I was willing to wake up every day. I was willing to work for free just to pay my guys on time. I was willing to go into debt. I was willing to have people rob me of my work and not pay me and me still pay my guys. You know, I was willing to do all that. And then again, it started happening again. I started losing myself again because I have, right now my business is growing. My business is getting successful. It's doubling every year. But what happens with that, it's you have more customers. You got more people wanting to rob you. You got more people not wanting to pay you. You know, you got people that are on your payroll that ain't fulfilling their positions. And then if I felt just recently, like I was telling Pastor Charlie, I said, Pastor, I said, I've been getting consumed by everybody. And I kind of made a little confession to him. I was like, it got so bad where I felt like I was getting my family away from the church. Like I was getting them away from God. And I feel guilty that my family's was so distant from the church. Not just from the church. They were getting distant from God. And it's still there. And I feel like it was my doing because I was allowing everybody else's aggression, you know, shystiness to keep taking me, you know. And the night before I prayed, I asked my wife, you know, there's a customer that doesn't want to pay me. You know, it's been going on for a month. And I figured out why, because we actually put the wrong brand of shingles on his roof, which is our fault. But at the end of the day, that's my mistake, you know, and my wife wanted to engage in an email war with this guy, and I told her, don't, you know, let me think about it. I went in my closet. I just spoke to God, and I said, God, just, you know, speak in my life. I'm ready. You tell me what you want me to do. I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? And it's just like my mindset got so clear that morning, you know, and at the end of the day, you know, I told my wife what to do. On that email, I told her, just tell that guy that I meet him at 9 a.m. I said, and that's it. And I was like, at the end of the day, if he wants me to replace the roof to the brand we're supposed to, 100% doing that the very next day. If he wants a little deduction, then that's what we'll do. And then for some reason, like how Pastor always tells everybody, and he reminded me, he said, guys, God is always working. Whether we see it or not, God is always working. Whether I've seen it or not, God has been working in my life this whole time since I've been in this church. God's been working in my children's life, not just my son Isaac, but my son Paul, you know, my nephew who's like my son Daniel, my son Gordo, my daughter Leah, and my daughter Nigel. Like, he's still working in our life. You know, we're not perfect. We go through a lot of things. But one thing I told Pastor Charlie is I wanted to hear what his vision was for the school. And I hear it, and it's an adult daycare. And I said, yes, that could work. I'm just hearing it. And I was like, Pastor, let's not wait. Don't wait. He was like, oh, we got to put in an application. Put that application in on Monday. You know, whatever little things we got to fix, we'll tell them, hey, Swift Roofing's coming tomorrow. They're going to fix it. You know, we could start fixing it. But one thing as a church is we have to work together. We have to build these stories. We have to have a Pastor Charlie story on video. You know, we have to have a story on Jason on video. We got to have Jay's story. We had to have Sister Connie's story, you know, and everybody else's story that's been moved in Victory Outreach, not just them. Everybody's story has to be heard. And when everybody hears a story, trust me, guys, they're going to be just like me. I would never leave this church. I would never turn my back on Pastor. I would never stop bringing finances into this church because I know what they're doing for the city that I grew up in. And Pastor Charlie's not even from here. He's from Texas. You know, he's not even from California. And he's here trying his hardest to make a difference in my community. You know, and he struggled since the day he got here, he struggled for years, not 2 years, not five, not 10. He struggled for a long time. He sacrificed his children's, you know, the way they grew up for this church, for Milwaukee. You know, that's why I would never leave this church. I will always bring finances into this church because of that. And I promise you, if we put the word out there, I promise you, everyone's going to feel the same just like me. You know, there's people that are out there that need Pastor Charlie, that need Jason, that need the men's home, that need to hear Jay's story, that need to hear Sister Connie's story. They're out there. They need to hear, but they don't know we exist. This, like I told them, this is the best kept secret. Like, we can't have that. Like, this cannot be a secret. This has to be out there. People have to know what we're doing. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, with our leadership, the leadership here, no one's perfect. You know what I mean? I know when I was a part of the leadership, I would stay quiet. But the whole time I'm thinking, no one's perfect. But all we have to do is work together. Like I tell my guys on the crew, hey, working together is always better. You know what I mean? But we have to do new things. We have to be on social media. We have to put the word out there. When I say let's put the word out there, let's put the word out there. Let's work on these videos like Monday. You know, I already told my son, you know what? Me, you, Sister Connie, Sister Janie, what we're going to do, we're going to put our heads together, and we're really going to start this media team. You know, we're going to put, I want to put these videos out here. You know what I mean? I want to have a video every single day on Facebook. I want that thing recurring. I want all my friends that ask me for money because they want me to sponsor them or they want me to support another business, I'm going to call them and say, hey, it's time. It's time that you bring that money over here. And it ain't for no business. It's for changing lives. It's for so Pastor Charlie can continue doing what he does. Pastor Charlie is a great speaker. And as me looking at him, I want to help him where he doesn't have to worry about finances in this church. He can worry about preaching his word to everybody because that's what he's good at. And us as a team, we should try to make that happen. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm pretty sure you guys are like, man, Paulino disappears, comes when he wants, and he gets treated like he could jump back in when he wants. But at the end of the day, guys, I apologize for that. You know what I mean? I'm man enough to say, hey, I mess up, and I'm going to mess up more, and I'm going to mess up tomorrow, and I'm going to mess up the next day. But guess what? I'm not going to stop trying. No matter what my business is going through, I'm always going to bring finances in here. There was times, trust me, guys, even though I have a business, it's tough. There's times where we only had a couple grand. And I was like, no, my love, give $1,000 to the church. You know what I mean? And sometimes I feel like I have a little system. We give money to the church, and money comes in through the business. You know, so at the end of the day, other business owners, they have finances, and they want to do good things. And this is a great place they would love to do things at, but we have to get that message out there. We have to let them know that Pastor Charlie is here in Milwaukee. We got to know that Jason's here running a men's home. We got to let them know that a men's home. And we're not just going to invest in media and time and spreading out the word. We got to invest in how our church looks. We got to dress up the front. I already invested a little bit of money into these little roofs. I'm going to invest $7,000 in getting this concrete fixed. I'm going to get these doors fixed. It's going to take a lot of finances just to get that front dressed up, but I'm going to try my hardest to make it happen. Is it going to happen tomorrow? No. Does it take 10 days? I don't know. It might take a year, but I'm going to try my hardest, guys. But I want us to realize that we have to use the tools that are available, that are free, which is social media, which is a hashtag, which is a knock on the door. You know, Brother Alberto, we have a carpet cleaning business. We need to tell everybody, you have a house, you have a carpet, you want to get it cleaned? You know, we have to start promoting ourselves. We cannot grow this church without being promoters. We cannot grow this church without being marketers. You know what I mean? I'm not coming from a spiritual side. I need to grow in the spiritual world. Like, seriously, I need to get close to God. And this is a step, me getting closer to him. Just talking to you guys. You know what I mean? I always dreaded to being up here. And to be honest with you, I just be like, man, hope Pastor Charlie never calls me up there. Because I don't want to get touched by God and then I just throw away my life. You know what I mean? I love my life. I have a big house. I got a boat. And, you know, I go to dinners all the time. I'm like, man, I always think about Pastor and you guys when I'm out eating a steak dinner. And I'm like, man, they're at the church right now mentoring somebody. You know, not caring about how they're going to look. You know, I actually bought the suit for a quinceañera, and I didn't wear it that day because I wanted to make an excuse to buy a suit. You know what I mean? And these are things that you guys sacrifice for the good being of other people. You know what I mean? And it still boggles my mind how your guys' heart works, how your spirit works, where I wish my spirit can be like that one day. You know what I mean? Hopefully it can. You know, because sometimes, you know, my kids and my wife, you know, a lot of people think I'm a nice guy, but sometimes they think I'm the devil. You know what I mean? And it's just like, but at the end of the day, I got a heart. And like I told my wife, I don't want to change the way I do business because of customers that want to take advantage of me. I don't want to change the way I talk to people because people want to take advantage of me. I want to stay the same person that I truly am. And the person that I truly am is always happy, always wants to make a difference in other people's lives, always wants to teach and guide people how to get their life better. And now I feel that I have to really present that in this church. I have to be here for you guys too. Just like you guys are here for the men's home, I need to be here for you guys because you guys need support. I need to be talking to the people in the men's home because sometimes they need support. I messed up with a couple guys in the men's home because they were leaning on me. It was that tall white dude and that kid from like Beloit. I forget their names. But they were leaning on me. They wanted my attention. I didn't give that to them. And one of them left. And one of them told me, hey, I turned around. You weren't there. I said, all right, Paulino's not here. I'm gone. You know what I mean? And I kept that to myself because I felt guilty. I felt like he left because I was not present. You know what I mean? Because everything I promised them wasn't delivered. And that was me just being present here because I was dealing with myself. And I wasn't believing in God at the time enough where I had enough strength to come to church and to be here and be supportive. You know what I mean? Growing a church is not going to be easy. And from where Pastor came, from 15th and Lapham, to where he is now, where the church is right now, that's a big difference, guys. You know what I mean? He went from having no church to having a big church. Now it's our responsibility to make this church what it should be, what God wants it to be. Not what we want it to be, not what I want it to be, what God wants it to be. You know, God speaks to us through Pastor Charlie, through Brother Jason, to Pastor Felipe. He speaks to us through them. You know what I mean? So now I have to step up. You know, I want to step up. I want to be more involved in the growth of this church. You know, I want to be more involved in what's going on. But I promise you guys, we have to work together or else it's never going to work. We can't put all the stress on Pastor. We need to relieve him from stress. We need to tell him, you know what, Pastor, work on your word. Work on that word. We're going to work on everything else. You know what I mean? Are we going to have the right answers? Are we going to figure this thing out? No. Are we going to mess up 100 times? 1,000 times we're going to mess up. But at the end of the day, we just have to keep trying, guys. Every day we got to try. And we got to hold each other accountable, too. Not in a rude way, and we can't be sensitive either, guys. Because I used to tell Kaylee all the time, Kaylee, why are you so sensitive? You go to church all the time. You should be more emotionally stronger than us. But that's not true. Because I went to church for a whole year, and I was even more sensitive after that. You know what I mean? Just because we go to church doesn't mean that we have bulletproof feelings. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, me raising kids, me being in a marriage, you know, me dealing with a company is that at the end of the day, no matter what struggles we go through, we can always talk them out. I guarantee none of us agree with everybody on how we want things to do. But if we all keep talking and we all pray and we all believe in God and we're on the same mission, we could get through those little struggles. And I'm only saying this so I'm trying to prep talk you guys for the future that we're going to be into. You know what I mean? The ideas that I'm going to have for marketing and social media, you might be like, yeah, that's terrible. But I'm like, wait, I have a track record of marketing because when I was marketing my company, everybody that I told my plan to was like, that's silly. You're never going to grow a roofing company into a multi-million dollar business just by doing Facebook Live videos. And now those guys are calling me like, dude, who taught you that? Nobody. I just went on Facebook Live and I just clicked live. And I just show them what I was doing. So if we at least can do that here, just go on Facebook and show them what we're doing, what you guys are doing, not me, what you guys are doing, trust me, everyone's going to want to be a part of this. Everyone's going to see, because I see all good in here. I don't see bad. The number one thing that people complain to me about church, the number one thing that people tell me, oh, I don't like going to church because the pastor wants all my money. I'm like, hey, guys, I actually go to a church where the pastor wants none of your money. You know what I mean? Well, I got to tell him, Pastor, we need to start talking about money in the church. He's like, no, I'm not doing that. Because he is not worried about money. He's not worried about finances. He's worried about souls. He's worried about saving people. He's worried about putting God's plan in place. You know what I mean? And that's rare. This is a diamond in the rough, guys. Trust me. I know this is a diamond in the rough. Coming from where I'm come from and how you guys moved my way of thinking with the Lord, I used to want to stay away from learning about God because I wanted to stay ignorant to the things that I knew that were wrong. You know, coming from where I come from. You guys all met me when I got here. You guys seen how broken I was from what was happening in my life at the time. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter how successful I was. Pain is pain. Grief is grief. You guys guided me through that. You guys took me. And then I got hit again with the same pain and the same grief. And I still go through it. And you guys are still here. Even though I turned my back on this church, you guys never turned your back on me. Those doors never closed on me. And I love you guys for that. And I would never, ever turn my back on you guys again. I promise. And if I break that promise, then guess what? I'll be back up here saying the same thing. But trust me, I don't want to ever walk in those doors and see Marcos tell me, Paulino, where are you? Where have you been? Very uncomfortable seeing Elias come up to me and say, Paulino, you're not my manager no more. And you know what I mean? Because in a way, yeah, I got a little mad. I'm not going to lie when he said that to me. But I forget that he's 11 years old. You know, because he comes up here and sings so well. But guys, trust me, this is the greatest kept secret in Milwaukee. Our job is to tell people what's going on here. Trust me. Pastor Charlie, the way he moves with the word of God, he presents God in my life. When I'm in here, I feel God's presence. I feel him protecting me. I feel him protecting my children. I feel him changing people's lives in the men's home. But we got to put in the work. Even for the men in the men's home, you got to put in that work too. This isn't an easy peasy job. You know, you want to change your life for the better, you got to do things to change your life for the better. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, you have support here that's going to help you guide that. Like this brother here, I don't know his story 100%, but I knew he came from the men's home from Jacksonville, Florida. And look at him now. He looks like a doctor to me right now. You know what I mean? And I don't know how he came to the men's home, how he looked, but I heard the stories about Brother Jason, how he came to the men's home, and he could barely even talk. You know what I mean? I don't know if that was exaggeration when I heard the story or if I'm hearing it right, but when I see Brother Jason, when he preaches, he moves me. You know what I mean? Where I wouldn't even like saying that in front of Pastor Felipe because I didn't want him to get jealous. You know, but every time he preaches, he moves me. You know what I mean? And it went from, I don't know if I heard the story right, but I'm like, and when he went from not even being able to speak right to preaching the word of God and being so polished in that nature. And that's beautiful, guys. Those are miracles. That's why I love Victory Outreach, guys. I'm not just sitting here talking about things that I think, things that I feel. No, it's things that I experience, guys. You know, I've been in Chicago with you guys. I met everybody. Trust me, most uncomfortable day of my life. You know what I mean? I'm from the ghetto. You know, I grew up around the one thing that I got so used to being in the ghetto was smelling garbage cans in the alley on a hot summer day, seeing a bunch of drug addicts all the time, you know what I mean, having to sweep up syringes and stuff like that because, you know, my dad was into drugs, you know what I mean, and there was no men's home for my dad. There was just dope houses, drug dealers. That's where my dad sold salvage at. You know what I mean? That's actually how my life went because of that, because of my dad's drug addiction. But if my dad would have been in a men's home, if he would have knew Pastor Charlie existed, maybe he wouldn't be in prison right now. You know what I mean? Maybe all the struggles that I went through as a kid, I would have never had to go through them. But he did not know that was available to him. And he tried. I'm talking about me and my friends literally kidnapped my dad one time on 9th and Greenfield because he owed one of our buddies like $1,500. And we went and we kidnapped him. You know what I mean? And we're like, no, we're going to get you help. Like, I can't have you out here smoking dope and robbing everybody because I'm your son and you think that's going to be cool. You know what I mean? Like, my dad was in such a bad place at one time. Such a bad place. But if he would have been here and he would have known Pastor Charlie existed, we took him to a church. It was on 9th and Windlake. It was like a corner building. You know what I mean? And he went in there with a dope habit. And it came out with a heroin habit. You know what I mean? This is a church. That was a church that was trying to help people, but all it was doing was consuming everybody into doing even deeper drugs because there was no organization there. I even stood there for a night with him. You know what I mean? Trying to get him that. And I was like 13 years old, guys. You know what I mean? I'm talking about me and my buddies, my buddy, rest in peace, Edgar, he was the one telling me, like, bro, old boy want to beat up Pops. And we're like, no. You know, if that guy didn't look at us like he had some love for us, me and my buddy Edgar, we would have been in some trouble with that guy. You know, we're talking about, you know, we're 13-year-old kids. You know, this is a grown man. You know what I mean? And my dad's over here robbing him. He could have easily did something to us. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, my dad and a lot of my dad's friends, they didn't have a chance because they didn't know that a Victory Outreach men's home was available to them. You know what I mean? That could have changed a lot of lives. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that probably be alive right now if I would have known about a church or been into a church where I could have put the word of God into their ear. You know what I mean? Now I have the responsibility of being there for children that have no father anymore. You know what I mean? And for my dad's stepkids too. He puts that responsibility on me while he's in prison. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, this is a church that it could save people from all that stress, all that struggle. You know what I mean? This is a church that literally can grab somebody like my dad at that time and change his life. Because I've seen it. I see changed people every time I walk in this church. And it's amazing to me. You know what I mean? And just being here and being next to Pastor Charlie and stuff like that, and being next to Brother Jason, being next to Connie, Sister Janie, I see the love and the dedication. You know, I keep calling him Pastor Alberto. Brother Alberto, like just seeing you guys all the time, just it makes me feel so good how you guys are still here, man. That I know my family can still be a big part of this church because you guys are still here. You know, I'm blessed to be a part of this, guys. You know, now my goal is to bless others to be a part of this too. You know, but we have to work together, guys. Let's utilize our phones. Everyone looks at their phone 50,000 times a day. Come on, let's share 5 videos at least a day. Let's work on this media, guys, together as a team. Let's come up with everyone come up with their opinion on how you guys want to see this thing out, and let's work together to make this thing happen, guys, because it can be. I want to see this church packed out. Since I've been coming here, the only time I see it packed out is when we have an event, and it's all Victory Outreach people here. You know what I mean? And I feel guilty that I haven't did enough to put, you know, more people in here. But now I feel even more guilty because, as Pastor been telling me, Milwaukee is struggling right now. The murder rate is high. I'm a victim of the murders that happen here. You know what I mean? In Milwaukee. I know kids that lost their dad to pointless murders. You know what I mean? And it might not even stop. You know, a year from now, I might have another childhood friend that got murdered. You know, I don't know. But Milwaukee is a struggling city. You know what I mean? And for to have a pastor and have a church like this that's willing to take people from the bottom, panhandlers, you know, and give them a home, that's amazing in itself right there. You know, you guys hitting the streets. I feel good to you. I'm not hitting the streets with you guys right now. But starting next Sunday, we hitting them. I'm going to be there with you guys. I'm going to force all my kids to be there too. You know what I mean? If they have plans going to the gym, then we about to walk together. You know, but at the end of the day, guys, I love you guys. Thank you guys for never giving up on my family, for always giving us a place to come. And hopefully we could do that for more families and bring more people into the... But we have to work on this together, guys. I don't know when Pastor Charlie wants to call a meeting for us to all get together, but it has to happen soon. You know, if it doesn't happen today, let's do it tomorrow. You know, guys, I'm available. God, when I prayed yesterday, God did something to me again for the third time. You know, this is God saying, hey, man, third luck's a charm, you know, you know. So at the end of the day, like, this is my oath to you guys, you know, to my pastor. I'm going to be here. I'm going to have you guys' back, just like you guys have mine, just like he answers the phone for me in the middle of the night and I'm going crazy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to have his back. I'm going to have your guys' back. But let's move things forward, guys. You know what I mean? Let's make it want to happen. Let's put in this work, guys. Trust me. We could do it all together. You know what I mean? Let's be here for anybody that needs us. And like that, let's always work together. Let's always work together is better, guys. Trust me. We're not going to be able to move this church without everybody's involvement, guys. You know what I mean? Seriously. So let's do it. We need to make this happen. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Pastor. God bless you guys. And I love you guys. Thank you, Pastor.
Man, Polino had me sweating back here, man. I don't button my suit right now. Amen. But I was speaking to him yesterday, and we've been doing things the same way over and over. And I know something needs to change. Something needs to change. In order for the word to get out there, he messed up my next week's message, The Best Kept Secret. And as he said that yesterday, the best kept secret, I wrote it down at the end of my message here. I wasn't going to say it, though, but Paulino said it. Amen? But it's not the best kept secret of the church. It's Jesus is being kept a secret. You know, Jesus is the best kept secret, you know, that can guarantee working in and through somebody's life. Amen. And as I was talking to Paulino, he knows how to branding. He has a fleet of vehicles, all brand new vehicles. He was talking real humble, but he brings in a lot of finances. You know, he clears big money in the big roof jobs they do and stuff. And, you know, so as he was speaking, I says, man, I'm hooking him, man. You know, I need what he's able to do in this church in the area of media and marketing and branding and all that stuff. We need to go to that level right there, and it's a level that I don't have. It's something I don't have, but it's something he's got. Amen. And he's right. I'm the preacher. Amen. I'm the preacher, and that's what God has called me to do, is that's my assignment. Amen. But I'm going to the streets today, you know, because I know something has to take a shift or the church is just going to stay the same. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with what's taking place right now, but God's plan is so much bigger than the plan in operation right now. Amen. So we're going to start taking care of the visual part of the building on the outside. And right now the school's being taken care of right now. The roof's being done right now, yesterday and the day before. And so we can have the finances, you know, have the finances to be able to pull off God's plan. It takes finances. And which equals people. It really, God's plan really equals people, you know. And if we were to pack out this place, we wouldn't have a problem with finances. So I want to challenge everybody, you know, and, you know, the title of the message is God's plan. It's God's plan. Amen. And what's God's plan? It's the SOS. It's the SOS, the salvation of souls. That's God's plan. You want to connect to God's plan? You want to be part of God's plan? It's got to connect to the SOS, the word that God gave me for this church. I mean, I believe the SOS, the salvation, it's not SOS from us to the Lord. It's an SOS from the Lord to us of his plan, of the salvation of souls. Amen? And in that, how much do I believe the SOS call from God to the church, his body? Is, I mean, the carpet business is called SOS, carpet cleaning. Amen? I mean, we even named the carpet business SOS carpet cleaning, you know, knowing that SOS stands for the salvation of souls. Amen? So I'm excited here this day, and I'm so excited. Nehemiah, when he got stirred, he went into prayer. He was broken and started fasting. My wife and I are going to get a date. We're going to go into a leadership fast as well as the church, for those of the church that want to get involved with the fast as well. Just for to have a better clarity of God's plan, amen. Just a better clarity to what fasting is able to bring one life, a better clarity to the details is the word I was looking for, the details of God's plan. We are all part of the details to God's plan. And you got to ask yourself, is your plan that you have right now connected to God's plan? Is the plan you're operating in right now connected to God's plan? You know, it's very important, because if it's not, it's not going to work. It's not going to prevail. It's God's plan that's going to prevail. God's purpose for your life, my life, in this city and the world, that's going to prevail. At the end, it's not up to the connection or the president, you know, or the devil. At the end, when Jesus returns, he's the shot caller, amen? And we need to be connected to God's plan. I'm real excited right now, working hard, and I need all you guys. I need all you guys. We got to take our thinking to another level, and it's going to take, I know I we had a leadership meeting, and Connie's now Miss Run for Hope. She's, watch. You know, my wife always does it with me, and I have so much on my plate right now. I'm keeping the doors open. I had a meeting that just says, I'm here to back up everything, but I need a point person for Run for Hope. So Connie is Miss Run for Hope, and then we're going to go to the businesses and everything, because that's not my style. Asking for money is not my style. I don't do that stuff, you know. I always say, God's going to provide. God's going to provide. Amen. And he has, amen, but he provides through people. He provides through people. So now I says, man, I need a specialist in being able to speak properly, business-like. And I got Brother Alberto now. It's going to be going to all the businesses within the city and stuff for Run for Hope, instead of us doing these thousand little, you know, $50, $80, $100 ideas to jump to the businesses, amen. And I'm going to have Alberto go. Been in the banking field for 15 years. He's a good speaker. He's smoother than I am. So he's the one that's going to be delegated to be able to go to big businesses and for Run for Hope and for the needs and the cares of the church. So somehow or another, him and Paulina are going to tie in together, amen, and going beyond the walls of the church, amen. I was raised up under Pastor Ed and my pastor, Pastor Herb, that always said it's in the house. It was always told to us in the beginning of my salvation, it's in the house. Everything we need, in other words, is here within us to make this work. But we got to tap into God's plan. We got to tap into God's plan, because it ain't going to work any other way, you know, especially in the end times that we're living in right now. Amen? Man, I thought I was sweating. Paulina had me sweating so much right now. I thought he had been up here for 2 hours, man. So I said, I was like, don't look at the clock. Don't look at the clock. Don't. So I looked up, and I still had, man, it was like 15 till 12. And I says, no, he didn't go there. So I was breathing hard back here. I was trying to bring order to church. I said, man, Paulina, man, I know he's long-winded, but I need some long-winded people. I need some long-winded people that can go to work and get home and still got some gas in the tank to still want to go do something more for the plan of God. Amen. As we stand on this beautiful day, I want to thank those also that connected with us here this day on online. Amen. And once again, Paulino is being a real nice guy that started off, as the story says, you know, with a little, you know, beater, scraper, little pickup in a roofing business, to now having a fleet of vehicles, all brand spanking new. And, you know, God did it. And he kept it real. One thing about him, he keeps it real. He pops in and out. Most people ain't going to say that. He keeps it real. And I really believe the Lord's looking for somebody to keep it real. And he said it clear. I ain't got the spiritual part yet. I need to get that part. But I do have the marketing. I do have the business skills. And I want to work through his life. God can use him right there where he's at. Because we need that. We need that. And his son Isaac right now is in college, honor roll student. And, you know, not honor roll, but valedictorian and everything. Amen. He's in Madison now. Amen. And I know Paulino's proud of all his children, but he's really proud of you, Isaac, right now. He's proud of you, not that you're, because you're smart. Amen. Because he's proud of you because of the spiritual part of your life now. The spiritual way you carry yourself and stuff. Where Isaac, Paulino was telling me yesterday, could have became a bad gang member, gang leader and stuff. But because of the church, amen, because of the church, amen, you know, Isaac is a man of God in the making right now. And God's going to use him as well, along with the whole family. But that's the promises of God for each and every one of us here this day. Each and every one of us. You know, if God could use my life with no money, how can he not use somebody else's life with money? Amen. But I got the faith to get the job done. Amen. And that's what it's about as we close in a word of prayer here this day. Father, we thank you. We love you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. I preached here this day your plan, God. Paulino preached your plan the best he could here this day. And what you have placed within his heart,
for you have stirred his heart as well, Lord Father God, just as you did mine, just as you did Nehemiah, to no longer be the problem, but a solution, the answer to your plan, Father. And I pray that for every man present here this day, every woman present here this day, every young adult present here this day, and all those viewing online, if God is stirring your hearts, he wants to use you. He's put a purpose within your life to fulfill his plan as one of the parts that make up his body, that he is the head of. Father, this day, Lord, we stand here in awe in your presence. We stand by faith, knowing that the good work that you have started in our lives, in the city of Milwaukee, Lord Father God, that you will complete your plan, Lord Father God, in using a bunch of broken lives that were once lost and bound, but now have been saved by your grace and mercy, the blood of your precious Son. We thank you, we love you, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here this day, amen. Hallelujah. Be part of God's plan, amen. At the foyer, they're going to be having the Run for Hope. I believe my son's out there with some goodies, amen, in regards to Run for Hope. God bless each and every one of y'all. Go in the peace of the Lord.